Well, it's the first Wednesday of the month, and that means no Cheryl today.
No Cheryl, that's all right.
We do have Dr. Fiona Giblin. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Amanda. How are you?
Great, thank you. Now, you want to talk about lumps and bumps today on dogs and cats and anything in particular?
I just thought it would be a good opportunity. I've seen a couple of curly ones in the last week or so, and I thought it might be a good idea to just, I guess, educate our listeners a little bit about the pros and cons and what to look for and when to seek advice.
Sounds good to me. Hi, Wendy. What's the issue?
I have a little Bichon poodle cross.
Yes.
And she gets some itchies from time to time. We think, or the vet thinks it's from something in the garden.
Okay.
I don't really know. There's nothing that I know of that should be doing it, but I'm wondering if you know of anything that you can put on these spots of hers that are itchy to stop her licking.
Yeah, definitely, Wendy. So how old is she?
About 3.5 or 4.
Hmm. Okay, and has she always been itchy, Wendy, or is it a new thing?
Well, it seems, I think it's probably seasonal. It's not all the time.
Okay.
But I can't really track it down to any particular time, you know.
Okay. And when she
and
gets...
I really don't know what it is, yes.
When she gets itchy, Wendy, where are the itchy spots? Like, where's her problem areas?
Underneath, sort of, on a lower tummy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Underarms and groin area, or mainly just tummy?
No, just tummy.
Okay.
I haven't noticed any particular place.
Okay. Anything on her feet or her ears at all?
No. Not her feet or ears.
Okay.
No.
All right. And when she gets itchy, does she sort of break out in scabs, or is it really red and moist, or what does the skin look like?
She licks and licks at the spot.
Okay.
And then it becomes hardened and very red.
Okay.
And, sort of almost forms a scab.
Okay.
And I've got a collar that I can put around her, and she can still reach.
Okay. Okay. Yes. All right. Look, a couple of comments I would say, Wendy. So more than likely she's allergic to something in the garden. So I do agree with what your other vet has said. The other thing that we have to think about with allergies is I use the analogy of hay fever with people. Okay, so you can be locked up in an airtight house and you can still show symptoms of hay fever, okay, because it's coming in on the wind, okay?
Yes.
So the same thing applies with grasses and pollens and seeds and all those sorts of things that come in on the air. So it may be we've got a component of actual contact allergy, but it may also be something that's coming in on the air, and you can do whatever you want, Wendy, but you can't keep her away from those allergens.
No.
Okay. In terms of anything you can use, most of what I would normally use in your dog situation is prescription medication. Okay. But a couple of suggestions of things that you could try over the counter if it's only mild. There are particular medicated shampoos you can get, okay, that are good for bacterial or fungal infections. All right. And the other thing that might be worth a try is an oatmeal based shampoo. Okay. Some of them come with a leave-in conditioner. Okay, as a two-pack, it's sort of a shampoo plus a leave-in conditioner, and that may be enough to soothe that itch if it's only mild. But if it's constantly flaring, then
not in all areas. Gets one spot at a time.
Okay,
and I'm looking for something that she won't like the taste of, perhaps.
Yeah. Okay.
But nothing if I was thinking of putting stuff like pawpaw ointment and Vaseline and things like that on it. But she might then keep licking because she likes it.
there are also bitterant sprays that you can get either over the counter at the vets or from one of the big pet stores that are going to deter her, but you definitely don't want to put them on the actual sore spots because they might sting.
Okay.
All right.
So you haven't really got any suggestions then other than about oatmeal-based shampoo.
So you could try the oatmeal-based shampoo. You could try the antibacterial or antifungal shampoo. You could try the no-lick around it. But if you're needing more than that, Wendy, it would need to be...
No-lick. Did you mention no-lick, did you?
Yes. It's a bitterant spray.
Okay. And if that's
not enough, Wendy, then I would definitely recommend having a chat to your vet.
Right. So no lick would be available from the vet, would it?
Most vets would have it.
Where can I get it? Or just online?
Give them a call or pop into one of the big pet shops. They'll be able to help you.
Yes.
Good luck with that, Wendy. Okay, next on the line, we've got Kim from Islington. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Thanks for your call, Kim. How can I help today? You've got an older cat.
Yes, and he's very fussy with his food. He won't eat any hard stuff. We've gone to grain-free food, but he likes gravy only, mainly.
Yeah, okay. And is that something that's new, Kim?
Last 6 months.
Okay, and how old's your cat? Are you there, Kim?
I really don't know.
Okay, but he's an older cat.
Yeah.
And you think his teeth are okay, is that correct?
Yeah.
Is that the vet said they're okay or they look okay to you?
No, the vet said they're okay.
Okay, all righty. Is his appetite in general off, Kim, or is it just the food situation? He's just avoiding the hard food?
Just the food.
Okay, all right. Has he had any blood tests recently, do you know?
Yeah.
And was there anything on that was picked up by the vet?
Nope.
All right. Well, you've got me stumped, Kim. Other than suggesting trying a few different brands and having a bit of a change in position of the food or, trying some different brands. A lot of the more premium brands do have a money-back guarantee on them. So you could try them and open them, and if your cat doesn't like them, then you have the peace of mind that you can return what's left of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He licks his fur a lot too.
Yeah, look, it's probably a little bit hard to give you much more advice or help, I'd say, Kim, without seeing him. But in a positive way, if his blood tests are normal and the vet said his teeth are good, then that's a really good sign. How long ago did he get a check over?
12 months.
Okay, all right. Well, look, I would probably suggest, vaccinations are due every 12 months anyway, so it might be a good idea to pop him in for his annual checkover, because a lot can change and there may be a particular area in the mouth that's causing him some discomfort, and your vet could certainly give you some further advice after checking him over.
Okay, good luck with that, Kim. All the best. Pet Chat, and we've got Marie from Wall's End on the line. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hi.
Now, you want to introduce another cat into the home and you're concerned about your cat's reaction.
Yes, that's right.
So have you got the second cat yet, Marie?
No, not yet, but I'm getting pushed by my children. they want that second cat.
Okay.
I'm not sure if my boy's going to cope with it.
Yeah, okay. Look, can I just say it is so good that you're trying to seek advice before the member is of the new family arrives rather than after, because that means you can be as prepared as possible and do if that's what you decide to do, you can be as prepared as possible.
Yeah.
What would you say your current cat's personality is like, Marie?
He's a 3-year-old tabby. He's affectionate when he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's pretty chilled. He's not he's a pretty good boy, actually.
Okay.
But my kids believe that he needs a friend.
Okay, all right. Well, I will just dispel myth number one there, Marie. Cats don't necessarily want a friend the same way a dog's want a friend.
Okay.
Cats are quite happy, on the whole, as a generalisation, being an only cat, okay? Some cats, if they're raised together, or some cats, do get along with each other, but it's not necessarily the case, and two cats that don't get along in a household is a world of pain. So I guess let's say hypothetically you get another cat. Would it be a kitten or a cat, or you're not quite sure yet?
Well, I wasn't sure. I was open to maybe rescuing an older cat.
Yep.
I wasn't too sure.
Not too sure yet. Okay.
Yeah, we've had him as a kitten, so I've done the kitten stage and I'm not home a lot, so
yeah, okay.
Maybe, yeah.
I guess the reason I ask is a kitten obviously is much more malleable, okay? So it can learn to cope much better with a new environment, for example, than an elderly or an older cat. That's not to say they can't do it, but sort of a kitten tends to be open and accepting to a new situation.
Okay.
The first couple of things I would suggest if you do want to get another cat, you definitely need to keep them separate for a couple of weeks, okay? So pick a room in the house that the new cat will be in. So they have their food, their water, their litter, everything in that room, and they're just allowed to become familiarised with that particular room, okay? It's fine if there's an adjoining door, okay, so that the cats can sniff each other and smell each other through sort of under the doorway, but you want them both to feel secure, okay, and not stressed out about having to share their space. Another thing that can be really helpful, there's a few pheromone-based products around that can be really great in decreasing anxiety and stress within cats, okay? There's one we use a lot at work called Feliway. You can get it sort of over the counter or online or at a pet shop, that sort of thing. And it's a plug-in diffuser. You sort of plug it into the PowerPoint and leave it on, and it emits a pheromone that people and dogs can't smell but cats can. And it can just really help if you've got a stressful situation. All the cats involved, it can sort of decrease their stress a little bit. So that's definitely worth considering. And then I guess slowly but steadily giving them time to see and sniff and spend time with each other, but also giving them both a space that's safe for them.
Okay.
Yeah, so they would be my starting suggestions, but... yeah, that's a tricky one. I don't envy you, Marie.
What about with rescue cats? Often, like when we got ours, there was a trial period. So if you got a rescue cat and introduced them and it didn't work out, then
Yeah, that's very true, Amanda. Period. They often do have a bit of a, for want of a better word, try before you buy or try before
like
you commit.
Fostering system.
Exactly, exactly. And that gives you an opportunity to... you know, which is sounds like you're keen on, you know, saving a cat's life, providing a good home for another cat that doesn't have a home, but also with the understanding that, you know, if it just puts your boy's nose out of joint, then it is potentially something that can be reversed.
Yeah, he's got to come first.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your call, Marie. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for your advice. Thank
pleasure.
You.
Bye.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thanks. Sandra, you've got a dog. You're worried about melanoma, is that correct?
I have had him at the vets and he's got several lumps and bumps on as you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Some look like a mushroom.
Okay.
If I saw the nurse and if I saw it on a person, I would think that was a melanoma.
Okay.
At the moment, they don't seem to be non-bleeding. The others that he had were either warts or bits of cysts around the place, but he's developing more on his body as he gets older.
Yep.
He's a Japanese Spitz cross Jack Russell.
Okay.
So our last Jack Russell had terrible melanomas. We had to put her down when she was about 5.
Poor thing.
Yeah, but she was bleeding. She had half her vagina taken away and everything. So she, I know that Jack Russells get a tendency to have those kind of issues.
Okay.
You know?
So
how do you detect if one it's changing and you really should get it attended? He's a 12-year-old dog.
Yeah. Okay. Look, yeah, okay. So one of the things, and I will get to it depending on callers today, one of the big things with lumps, as I'm sure you would be aware being a nurse, is change is something that potentially is significant, okay? So if you've got a lump and it's looked a certain way and then suddenly it becomes bigger or raised or lumpy or irritated or something like that, then that would definitely be a time when I would definitely recommend getting it checked, okay?
Yeah.
How long ago did the vet check this particular lump you're concerned
about?
Only
in the last month.
Okay.
But he's getting more when you, because he's got a double coat like the Spitz have, you know, sometimes you don't see them. And I noticed the other day after I'd washed him and I was brushing him that he's getting more in different areas.
Okay.
But whether they warts or whether they're melanomas.
Okay.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah. You know? I mean, certainly there are some types of lumps where if they've got one or two, they're much more predisposed to developing more. Okay.
Yep.
If you're concerned about it, one of the things that I would do in a consultation is what's called a fine needle aspirate. So we put a little needle, just like a normal vaccination needle, into the lump and try and pull out some cells and then have a look at those under the microscope.
Well, we've done that.
Okay.
We've done that. Some turned out to be warts, some turned out to be just cysts.
Okay.
But this other one didn't actually, is not atypical of a melanoma.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, if you're concerned, Sandra, really the best thing to do is to have it surgically removed. Okay.
Yeah.
And that way I highly recommend sending the lump off to the pathologist because then they can have a look. I mean, that's their specialists in their field. They can have a look at it and they can tell you for sure what it is that you're looking at. And that would be peace of mind for you. And obviously that will be the problem gone for the dog.
Yeah. My problem is that his thrombosis cruciate ligaments in his back.
Okay.
The vet didn't want to do that, so would they want to do any more extensive surgery on him? Probably not.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if you know, it's up to you what you want to do with your dog. If you do want to seek a second opinion, that's always an option, Sandra. You know, some vets have a particular interest in dermatology, some vets have a particular interest in surgery. But I guess my bottom line and my suggestion would be if you're concerned, or your dog's concerned, then let's address it and let's try and fix it for you.
So a melanoma change, what would that be? Would it be bleeding?
Oh, it could be, Sandra. It also could be a lot of other things. But, if you're concerned, my suggestion would be to cut it off and send it to the lab.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that, Sandra. Hopefully you'll get some answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Pet Chat with Dr. Fiona Giblin and Amanda McCreed. I'm not the vet. You are. You're going to answer
That's
the questions.
All right. You run that here. Very complicated screen
That's
full
right.
of 75 buttons and I just sit here with a microphone.
We're a good team. You answer the complicated questions. So, yeah. Karen from Cessnock. Hello. Are you there, Karen?
That's all right. I can answer Karen's question. We've got a bit of information here. We've got the information that we've got a 17-month-old chihuahua eating lots and lots of non-food items in the backyard. I guess my comment would be, welcome to puppyhood. Some puppies are worse than others, Karen, and it looks like you've got a purler there. It's like having a toddler in the house. Basically, whatever's in their environment, you've got to assume they're going to explore, and the way that puppies explore is with their mouth. So chewing lots of things that they're finding, basically. So it really comes down to providing a safe environment for them. Making sure that there's nothing that they can ingest that's going to cause an obstruction. Rocks and rubber toys and rope ties, they're all big ones, Amanda, that we often end up having to surgically remove. So making sure that we don't have things like that available to the puppy. And size-wise for a chihuahua, I mean, I guess they are quite small and they can get under lots of gaps and, you know, maybe areas under the house. So making sure that that we've got a secure yard, nice and sort of fenced so pup can't escape at all, and just providing them with lots of mental and physical stimulation. Twice a day, taking them for a walk, plenty of interaction, lots of learning, learning manners, sit and stay and find, and, you know, playing lots of games with them to really engage their mental stimulation as well as their physical stimulation. We certainly see lots of serial offenders, I should say. Lots of dogs who are repeat visits for eating toys and chocolate and you name it, we've either seen it or removed it. Just really it's about providing a safe environment for the puppy and also lots of physical and mental stimulation when you can.
Yep. Hopefully that helps Karen. Hopefully she can hear better than we can.
Yes. A good question. But basically just keep the puppy safe and yeah, and best of luck would be my suggestion.
Yeah. In the meantime, we're going to talk about lumps and bumps.
Yeah, I thought it was a good opportunity, as I said earlier, to just address different types of lumps and bumps that we see day to day in practice. So I guess the first thing was there are some breeds of dog in particular that there are certain types of cancers that are predisposed in those breeds. So if we see that breed and there's a lump that's come up recently that an owner has noticed, we may treat that with a little more suspicion than on another breed. So the one that springs to mind is boxers. So boxers are predisposed to a particular type of skin cancer called mast cell tumours. And if I have a boxer that comes in with a lump that's recently noticed by an owner, I'll instantly be more suspicious of that purely because of the breed. So breed plays a big role in our sort of clinical judgment. And also, as I said to Sandra earlier, with her dog with some lumps, any change in the size of the lump, the appearance of the lump, if it suddenly starts bothering the dog, if it suddenly starts oozing, anything like that, they're all changes that should remind you to go and get that checked out, just for peace of mind for you and obviously for the health and safety of your pet.
Can you get sunscreen for dogs and that would help?
Yes. The challenge sometimes with sun cream is you put it on a dog's nose, it licks it off. So you definitely don't want to use human sun cream. There are pet safe sun creams, but also your really bog standard white zinc, okay, is something that can be used on dogs' faces. You need to be very, very careful around their eyes. For example, I wouldn't be putting it near their eyes. Ears is another one that can be quite common. And in cats in particular, skin cancer on the nose and the ears, particularly white cats and outside white cats, they're much more common in that breed than they are in other breeds. So I guess that sort of circles back to that breed predisposition as well. You know, a white cat that's outdoors that has a non-healing scab on its nose, skin cancer probably, till proven otherwise. So, yeah, any changes, definitely seek veterinary advice. Another big one is when we take a lump off, we need to try and get what's called clean margins, okay? So if you've got a lump, you also need to, when you surgically remove it, take some clean tissue from around the outside. So if it is a cancer, you're removing all the cancer cells as well. Now, if you've got, you know, a grape-sized lump on the back of a dog, easy. If you've got a orange-sized dog on a dog, sorry, an orange-sized lump on the leg of a dog, very different situation. So if you can catch those lumps early, seek veterinary advice early, we've got more options for removal, definitely. And then I guess anything that is surgically removed, I definitely always recommend sending it off to the lab so we can find out what it is. We can then guide you with prognosis and planning and is there anything else we need to do? Are we likely to have it recur somewhere else? Is it likely to spread? All those sorts of things. So a lot of the same principles as lumps and bumps in people. But, yeah, just a bit of hopefully education for our listeners, things to watch out for, things to trigger you to go and get an opinion, basically.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's great. Now, we'll also look at our Pet of the Week on our 2NU RFM webpage. And we've got Hugo, a 4.5-year-old Staffy Cross.
He looks cute. I reckon he'd be a great family pet.
He sounds like I'm not – I'll be honest, I'm not a big dog person, but after reading about Hugo, he sounds like the perfect dog.
Yes, he ticks a lot of boxes, good with kids, good with other dogs, toilet trained, well-mannered, sleeps through the nights, couch potato, does say he needs a big high fence, which you'd want for, you know, a medium to large breed dog anyway. Be happy with a doggy friend, likes his walks, walks well on the lead. So I think he'd be a great family pet, 4.5-year-old Cross. If you're looking for a member to add to your family, Hugo might be it.
Yeah, and we've got Clover, the cat, today.
Yes, Clover's very cute, still a kitten, 4-month-old kitten, the energy of a kitten. So, yeah, will be hours of she'll be hours of entertainment for you, and you'll be hours of entertainment for her, whether you want to be or not. Like Zoomies, likes running up and down the hallway, but does seem to be a real people person. So likes hanging out with her humans and likes her cuddles. Not all cats will like cuddles, but Clover.
No, but my cat doesn't.
No, which is hard if you want a cat that you want to have cuddles with. Well, Clover's your girl. she also looks like a great fit. So we've got some good choices there today.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're interested, you can go to our 2NURFM website at 2NURFM.com.au and you can click through to the pet chat section with Pet of the Week, and you will find Hugo and Clover. There's also a few other ones from weeks before that may still be available, so you check those out. Now, our winner of our $50 pet food voucher today is Marie from Wall's End, who's got the cat. And
may or may not have a second cat.
Yeah, well, hey, Marie, have a look at Clover.
Have a look at Clover. She might be a girl.
That's it. Well, we're almost out of time. It's been a busy day.
Lots of fun. I love answering everyone's questions, so always happy for the calls.
Yeah, yeah. No, thank you so much for coming in, and we'll see you again soon for Pet Chat.
Sounds good.
2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.